Hello and welcome to episode 115 of the Dragons Are Real podcast. Right, before we get started with the main topic, just a bit of housekeeping. The old petejones.newcities.org website, that's just a placeholder now for all my links to my social media, the podcast, the blog, etc., etc. I've now set up a new website, blog, which is dragonsarereal.bearblog.dev, and this has got a link to the socials. It's got links to the podcast, the web store. All the podcast episodes have now been linked to. They've all got tags so that they can be tracked as well. I've also started a blog again, and this will link to all the YouTube videos, and I'm going to do some text blogs now. So for example, I've been doing some articles on ZineQuest, so I want to get a bit back to blogging as well as doing the YouTube and the audio podcast. And if you want to subscribe to that, there is an RSS feed link as well, so you can get it directly to your inbox. So with all that rubbish out of the way, let's get on to the main topic. So in today's episode, I'm going to be covering Oz by Andrew Kolb. This is a fantasy role-playing setting which is 5e compatible. Now, back in episode 104, I covered Andrew's previous book, which was Neverland, which was a setting for the Neverland, Peter Pan. So this time he's gone and done it again. This time he's doing it for the Wizard of Oz. Now, I don't think it's quite out yet. I got the pre-order for review purposes. The hardback is going to be about £25. There's already a pre-order available on Amazon. And there will be a PDF out, I'm guessing, through drive-through. So I've got reviewing the PDF today, but I've also got the beautiful hardback edition as well, which was kindly sent to me by the publishers. But just to let you know that they have not influenced this review in any way whatsoever. They just sent it for me to review because I reviewed their previous product. So again, this is as 5e compatible. As we get to see the stats later, you will notice that the stats are a bit cut down 5e, but the pre-gens at the back are definitely 5e characters. So the setting is the Wizard of Oz, inspired by the original books by Frank L. Baum. We start off with a list of personalities and factions at the front of the book. A timeline of Oz. So, and I like the way they've done this. We've got what happened long, long ago, what's happened long ago, what's happened some time ago, more recently, and meanwhile. So basically, this is set after the time of the film, where the Scarecrow became king. The Scarecrow has since been overthrown by General Ginger, who became the Queen of Oz, and she in turn has now been overthrown by Ozma, a half fairy princess who is now Princess of Oz. And Oz is restricting magic, and this draws the attention of some old enemies. Unlike the previous book, which was definitely a hex crawl and worked well for Neverland, this is a point crawl. And not only that, it's designed as an urban point crawl. There is no overarching singular story. It's up for you and the players to decide what happens in this setting. Oz is broken up into five domains, which are the four districts and the Emerald City itself, which is ruled by Princess Ozma. While you set up the game, it's up for you as the GM to decide who are the four wardens of the four districts, and each of the wardens has a relic of Oz, and it gives an example setup. We get then onto running Oz. So it's basically split down into point crawl and local crawl. So a point crawl, it subtracts your locations and the travel between them. And then when you get into locations, you switch from point crawl mode into local crawl mode. And if you think of this as you do with a dungeon, when you're going from room to room, then this is the idea of the local crawl. You get into the nitty gritty. And their rules for dealing with each. Then we get onto this section of the Wondrous Land of Oz, which tells you all about the fairies, the desert, the yellow brick road, time, aging and death in Oz, and onto magic. It goes into some detail of Osmer and the city, the four districts, and the people that are important in these districts. Then we get onto a section of crime and punishment, lodging and living expenses, and some resources, so all good background for your game. Then we get onto a section which is the advanced rules and mechanics, and this has got a section for exploring the wild region, of which there are I think four or five wild regions, and basically this is a depth crawl. You arrive at this location at area zero, and each time you roll a d4, add it to your previous total, and that takes you further into the area, and each time you add another d4, and it takes you further into the area. Then we've got a section on fame and Tom Fully Total with the abbreviation TOTO. Very clever, see what they did there? There's also a section on infamy, and fame and infamy are obviously an important part of the setting. Then we have rules for searching in the neighbourhood and a very simple set of chase rules. Oh yes, you out there know how I love my chase rules. Not. Well, this is a really simple set of chase rules. Basically, each player and the GM has a modifier, and each turn they roll a d4, add their modifier, and the higher roll wins, and the next turn they get to roll a d6 versus the other person's d4. The winner of the second round can either upscale their own dice by one dice size to a maximum of d12, or downsize their opponent's size one dice as well, and then you try to get to the end result, and beforehand you'll set a difficulty, and this might be something like you must win 3 rounds before losing 5 rounds. We carry on. There is a nice section on map making. This is something you don't often see in games, but it tells you about how to make local maps for buildings and for streets, so something a bit different now. Then we have a section on intermissions, or what is probably known in other games as downtime. And there is a host of tables for the player and GMs to get involved with, and it gives you a quite broad source of items that you can do in your downtime. And the thing with tables is one that keeps reoccurring with this book, and you can see a lot of effort has been put into the whole thing. Chapter 2 then takes us onto the cast, or as we know it, a bestiary. And as in the previous Neverland, they use a 5e style stat block, but it's been drastically simplified, and we have got all of your favourite creatures from the books in here, from animals of various types, whether it be bulls, mice, and then we get into a bit more of the extreme stuff with particular NPCs, more creatures, clockwork denizens. The Cowardly Lion is in here, obviously, because they're important. Dorothy and Toto, the stats for them. And this continues all the way from dragons, crocodiles, gargoyles, fighting trees. There is a host of bestiary here that you can use to fill your boots with this setting. All I can say about these is that a lot of effort has been gone in to make these unique. There's some personality traits, bonds for the NPCs. There really is a ton of stuff here for you to get your teeth into. A really good section. This takes us on to Chapter 3. This is the land. This is a very comprehensive section. We have a quick reference area with all of the areas, an overall map with the Emerald City in the centre, and the four districts off to the north, east, south and west. And each of those districts is broken down into several subsections. Each of the big areas, the five districts, gets broken down into little areas, and there are a bunch of tables for each of the areas. So for example, with the Emerald City, you get the first impressions, you get a map of the Emerald City, what's nearby, so what are the other areas nearby, and this is broken down into a map. When we get to other areas, each one of these has got certain stats. There's a D20 encounter table, and you roll on that, and you might get an area effect, no encounter. You meet a creature, which leads you to another table. You have meet a non-playing character, which leads you to further tables. You have meet a secret agent, or you get some sort of a magical occurrence. There's a D12 table for area effects, a D12 table for creatures for each of the sections, a D12 table for each of the NPCs. And then we have tables for mood, status, and guild, which are all D10 tables, and a secret organization table. When it comes to the set areas, each of the areas has a table for running from 0, where you enter the area, up to about 16. And as you can see on the YouTube video, each of these area has a lot of effort has gone been into it. There is plenty of tables here for the GM to get into the areas to inspire their imagination. And I'm not going to go through all of these, but there are a host of areas here, a big section of the book. So if you want to run a game in this, there is a ton of stuff here. Chapter 4 is our resources section. And this includes a description of all the relics of Oz that we mentioned earlier on. Then we have some maps for certain locations. So we've got a bank, a factory, a mansion, the Olive Knight Lodge, the Uzultra Laboratory, a parade, an overground station, an underground station, a Watcher Folk station, a Woggle-gology centre. You try saying that. And then we have a host of tables here. And there are some fantastic tables here covering all sorts of things from adventures, guilds, animals, character traits, ceremonies, conversation starters, creatures, crowds, locations, exhibits. There is a ton of stuff here. Loot, magical occurrences, just too much to list here, but absolutely tons of stuff here to get your all creative juices flowing, so you should never be without any ideas of what you're going to run in this. Then we get up to another section, which he had in Neverland, which is external and complementary resources. So this gives you links to digital resources, gaming material, reading material, and viewing material. All good stuff. And another section which he's carried over from his previous is the sketchbook. So this is a collection of sketches and notes that he used during various stages of designing the book. And it is just shows you some great ideas there of where he came from and how the whole book evolved to cover tables, maps, and all of that. It really is good. Then at the back of the written book, it's not in the PDF so I can't show you, is some 5e pregens, and there is a quick reference guide and a beautiful fold-out map. So, as you can see, this is a ton of work. If you are interested in the Wizard of Oz and want to play in a setting, even if you're not using 5e, the resources in here are absolutely fantastic. Like Neverland, he's outdone himself again as Andrew. I'm also led to believe that his next project is going to be Alice in Wonderland. Oh yes, it is. So I can highly recommend this. If I hadn't been sent this complimentary PDF and book, I would have bought it. I bought the previous Neverland, and I think it's a fabulous resource. So highly recommended for me. Check that out. So that's all for this week. Don't forget to check out the blog at dragonsareal.bearblog.dev, and also, failing all else, you can email me at dragonsareal@protonmail.com. That's all. Thanks for listening, and I catch you all on the flip side.